been invited to a party and you get one of those online invites? And it's like, you know that that person sent out about 8,000, you know, invitations to their little backyard barbecue. It's like, you know, they sent out a gazillion. In fact, on some of those things, you can even see, like, the invitation list, like, whoa, I know their backyard ain't that big. But they, like, invited all of Santa Maria, right, to their backyard barbecue. And so it's like, okay, you're thinking, well, you know, I don't want to be a jerk about it. So, you know, I'll say I'm coming, or, you know, you can, like, kind of be non-committal and say, you know, kind of like, I'm thinking about it, or I hope to come, or I'm not sure yet, or, you know, there's like different options on some of those sites where I think I'm coming. Or maybe you've been one of those people that have invited, you know, everybody that you know to come to your backyard barbecue. And so you go online and you're doing this invitation. And like, sometimes you really don't know who all is going to show up, right? I mean, it's like, man, I know that, like, well, I invited 400 people and 100 people said they were coming. Guess what? Until it's barbecue time, baby, you really don't know who all is going to be there. And it might be you and like three other people looking at each other. You got a lot of food, okay? Hey, can I tell you that as a pastor, sometimes I go through some of the same things in my own mind when I see people respond to Jesus. They say yes to Jesus. And in fact, I think over this past year, we've probably had 100 different people in different services throughout the year that have said, Jesus, yes, I want to follow you. Jesus, I give you my life. I put my trust in you, God, for your salvation, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord. Yes, and we celebrate that. But then here's what I notice as a pastor. I notice then the next month when we come to like a service where we're doing baptisms and water baptisms, you know, like we have like maybe a dozen people that surrender their life to the Lord and many of them for the very first time. But then it's like we get to that coming, you know, time because we always do baptisms on the third Sunday of the month. Next Sunday is the third Sunday of the month. And sometimes we won't have anyone that shows up to that party. Or sometimes maybe, you know, like we'll have had a bunch of people over the last month give their life to the Lord, but when it comes to baptism, it's like who actually shows up to the waters of baptism and, oh, okay, there's one or two, and you know, maybe it's one of the children from Safari Kids that says, man, I wanna be baptized. But sometimes people have said yes to the Lord in their heart, but they haven't said the next yes. The next yes. And I want to talk this morning to us about the next yes. For some, that's going to be coming to the waters of baptism next Sunday. And I'm going to tell you right now that we're going to end this service by saying, who wants to be baptized in water next Sunday? And even as I share with you today, I'm gonna just be praying in my spirit, and I ask you guys to be praying as well, that there would be many here this morning who would say, next week is my week. I'm gonna go to the waters of baptism. And you may be like, I'm gonna fold my arms right now. He's not gonna trick me. He's not gonna twist my arm into that. But let me tell you, I believe that for many, baptism is the next yes for your life. It's showing up to the party. It's not just clicking on a thing saying, hey, you know, I think I might show up. Luke chapter 7. If you'd open your Bibles there. Luke chapter 7, kind of midway through the chapter, Jesus starts talking about John the Baptist. If you've read any of the New Testament, you would come to really quickly recognize that John the Baptist was actually Jesus' cousin. You know, you remember that story? And John the Baptist was very significant in the life of Jesus. He was actually sent by God as a prophet to prepare the hearts of people to be ready to receive the Messiah, to be ready to receive Jesus coming on the scene. Very important. And we're not going to read all of that. We're going to skip to verse 28, and we're going to find Jesus midstream in conversation talking about John. And Jesus says this in Luke 7:28. He says, I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. I mean, that's how significant John was in this whole story of God preparing people's hearts for the salvation that was to come through Jesus. But then he goes on and says something interesting. He says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Wow. Let's just stop and think about that for a moment. There's no one greater than John, and yet anyone who is even the least in the kingdom of God, I feel like that someday. Hey, I'm the least in the kingdom of God. How many of you ever feel like, God, I just don't know if I can even get out of bed today. I don't even know if I can put two thoughts about you together in my mind. I just feel out of sync with you, God. I feel like the least. Well, good news. Good news. Jesus says, you're greater than John the Baptist. I thought there would be an amen, a cheer. I'm waiting. Come on, hey, help me out. It's like, listen, even when we feel like we're the least, Jesus said, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Here's the truth. See, John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. We actually receive Jesus. John the Baptist was sent by God to help prepare people to receive Jesus. We've got Jesus. We have Jesus in us. We are in Christ, the Bible says. Man, we have got it all over John the Baptist because we are part of the kingdom of God that was ushered in by Jesus' death and resurrection. John didn't get that. John was martyred. He was killed for his faith before the cross and resurrection. So guess what? Even on your worst of days, Jesus says, you're greater than John the Baptist. But now we're going to like go to the next verse. And Jesus says something so interesting. And in fact, the way that Luke captures this, at least if you're in the New International Version of the Bible, this next thought from which we're going to derive the basis of our message today is actually like in parentheses. And go ahead and put that up. And you'll see it's kind of like in brackets. It's like Luke is inserting this thought right into what Jesus was saying about John the Baptist and about, hey, you're, you know, even the least of those in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And he goes on, he says this, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right. Why? Because they had been baptized by John. Interesting. But the Pharisees and experts in the law, the religious folk, they rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Just keep that scripture up on the screen there, and I want to talk about that for a moment because this is a really fascinating concept that I believe that Luke, the writer of this gospel, really wants the readers to capture, that there is something about baptism that unlocks something of God's truth. And even, I love what it says, the purposes for your life are unlocked as someone would say yes to baptism. Let's read that again. All the people, even the tax collectors, even the tax collectors. Again, it's like, remember how Jesus said the least of these in the kingdom? Man, I'll tell you, when people were reading back then and read tax collectors, they go, oh man, those people are rotten. They're scoundrels. They're the criminals, right? They were people who often cheated people and stole their money as they were collecting taxes. These were not great individuals. But it says that even those who would be acknowledged, man, these are not the good people in our community. These are not the upstanding citizens. Even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because They had been baptized by John. There was something about going to the waters of baptism and saying yes to that, about surrendering something of themselves to this spiritual experience that prepared their hearts to continue saying yes to God after they came out of the waters of baptism. See, waters of baptism didn't have to just do with getting wet. It had to do with preparing a heart, softening a heart before God. Because here's what I believe, that when we begin to say yes to God, we will continue saying yes to God. Say it again. When we begin to say yes to God, yes, Lord. Okay, that's what you want me to do? Yes, Lord, I'll do it. God, you want me to be obedient in this area? Okay, yes, yes, yes. We begin to establish a pattern in our lives of continuing to say yes to him. Continuing to say yes. But the reverse is also true. And that's what he says next in this passage. But the religious people, the Pharisees and experts in the law, what did they do? It says they rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. In other words, when they had an opportunity to say yes to God, they said, nope. They said, no, not going to go there. Not going to do that. I am not going to, you know what? I am a good person. I do right things. I ain't one of those tax collectors. I am a religious person. I know right from wrong. I got this all figured out, God. So no, I'm not going to get in that stinky water with all those other people. See, there's a pattern of saying yes to God. But what the scripture is reminding us, there's also a pattern that can be established of just saying, nope, not going to do that, not going to go there. I'm not going to be baptized. I'm not going to be baptized. What is it about water baptism that makes it such an important decision? See, I believe that what we're going to see in just a moment is that God has established it as a pattern so that when we say yes to Jesus and put our trust in him, that water baptism becomes the next yes. It's the very next yes. Let me show you in scripture this pattern. We're just going to look at three scriptures, but we could look at many more. Matthew 28, it's Jesus' very last words recorded before he departed to heaven. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority is mine. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go. Like I've been sent on a mission from God to you. Now I am commissioning you to go and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right there, Jesus links being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, and being baptized. Right? Go and make disciples. And then the very first thing, baptizing them, baptizing them. And then we see, let's skip down to Acts chapter 2. We see when the church was very first established in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus has now departed to heaven, but the very thing that Jesus promised, that he would send his Spirit to his people, that has now happened. And we see this radical shift take place in Acts chapter 2. And those who had been timid and hiding and shy and like, man, they were unable to even like get out there and share with one person. Now they're standing up and, man, Peter's out there like declaring to thousands of people the goodness of Jesus. And in Acts 2:38, as Peter was preaching this very first message, He says this, repent and be, come on, repent and be baptized. We repent in our heart as we would turn, as we would put our trust in Jesus. We say yes to him in our heart, but then what is the next yes? The next yes is going to the waters of baptism. It's the next yes. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then just a couple of verses later, in Acts 2:41, it says this, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So those that accepted his message, they said yes. They said yes to Jesus. We put our trust in this Jesus who went to the cross for us. They said, we acknowledge that. We accept that. And it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. They said yes to Jesus, and they said yes to baptism. There is this pattern. There's this pattern. Accept God's word. Accept that what he has said is true. And then accept the fact that he has called us into baptism. Say yes in your heart to the Lord, and then say yes to going to the waters of baptism. See, I believe that what Luke was saying in Luke chapter 7 is that baptism is like it's a dividing line. It's like a line in the sand that like, man, I know I've put my trust in the Lord, but am I going to cross over that far? Am I going to really like literally like take the plunge? Am I going to like say, wow, like in front of other people, I'm going to like declare, wow, this is what I've decided in my life? I believe it's a significant dividing line of like, and that God has placed there before us. Like, will we step across? It's kind of like crossing over a threshold. Crossing over a threshold. You know what a threshold is? It's that kind of like plate at the bottom of a doorway where we literally transition from one place to the next. See, I believe that water baptism has been given to us from the Lord as a threshold that he asks us to cross to go from one place to the next with him. I believe it's a little bit like getting married. I believe it's a little bit like getting married. See, I dated my wife for 4 years before we got married. Can I tell you? That's an eternity. Man, when you love someone and, man, you're getting to know that person, it's like 4 years. Wow, that's a long time. We started dating when we were like teenagers, Man, that's when you're a teenager, 4 years, that's like a huge chunk of your life. It's a long time. And during those years, though, I got to know Kelly. I fell in love with Kelly. You could say I accepted Kelly. I really did. Accepted who she was as a person, someone who I valued and trusted and believed in, and just who she was at her core. All those things were true over those 4 years, but I still had to come to that decision. I still had to ask the question, but am I going to marry her? Am I going to like cross that line? Like, I love her, but like, am I going to marry her, right? That big difference between loving someone and getting married to someone. It is a dividing line. It is a threshold experience. You're either married or you're not, right? Now listen, marriage is infinitely greater than dating. It's infinitely greater than dating. Maybe some of you, I know that there's some of you that are here that are dating. That's great. I'm happy for you. But can I tell you that marriage is infinitely greater than dating? And I'm not just talking about like that sweet romance, you know, that's good, that's important. But can I tell you that marriage is greater? But I wanna show you some things I believe that marriage is greater than dating. You ready? First thing is this: there is greater responsibility. Hey! I'm not just paying bills for myself. I'm paying bills for her too. Yeah. But listen, those of you who are married, you understand. Why, you know what? We take responsibility for each other. We do. In marriage, there's a whole different level of responsibility than when you're just dating. Because now I'm caring for that person in a way that's like, no, I'm taking responsibility. And sometimes I'm the one that's racking up the bills that she has to take responsibility for. But we take greater responsibility in marriage. Here's the second thing that's greater in marriage. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Needing to die to myself daily. Setting aside. Setting aside my preferences for hers. Listen, that's significant, guys. There is greater sacrifice required in marriage than in dating. There is greater responsibility. There's greater sacrifice, and there's also greater boundaries in marriage. See, when I'm just dating, it's like, hey, I really dig you. You're really cool. But it's like, there's a whole bunch of other women out there too. And when I'm just dating, you know, it's like, I can kind of keep my eyes open and like, check out other folk, you know, that like, she's kind of interesting also. Listen, in marriage, I stood before God, a pastor, my family, and a whole bunch of friends. And you know what I proclaimed to my wife is a covenant, forsaking all others to you only do I commit myself. See, there is a huge difference between marriage and dating. You following me? Yeah. But listen, but that kind of sounds like, what? Responsibility, sacrifice, and boundaries, what? That doesn't get me too excited about marriage. But let me tell you that there are some other things that are greater about marriage as well. One of them is a depth of intimacy. Can I tell you that just a couple of weeks ago, Kelly and I celebrated our 30th anniversary. Wow, yes, praise the Lord. And listen, the intimacy that we have now in our relationship is so much different than when we started dating and she was 16 and I was 19 and we were just kind of like, we didn't even barely know who we were ourselves, let alone being able to really understand and accept the other. And let me tell you, it's been challenging to get to a higher level of intimacy, man, because we got stories and we've got stuff that we had to go through, processes, some that we're still going through, because you know what? We want to get to even greater intimacy than we have today after 30 years. I pray that at year 40, we have greater intimacy in our relationship then. And Kelly says, amen, amen. But you know what? Far greater depth of intimacy. Why? Because after years of marriage, guess what? I'm a veteran lover. Veteran. Because, man, in those first days when you're just dating, you know, you're just trying to figure things out. Second, another thing that is greater is fruitfulness. Greater fruitfulness in marriage than in dating. What God's word tells us is that two are better than one. Two are better than one, and we can accomplish so much more when we are together as one. When we are operating together as one, we can be way more fruitful, be way more productive in just what gets generated out of our lives and represented by three children. Guess what? Neither of us could have done that alone. We needed each other to make babies. That's just an illustration that when two people come together and commit their lives together in marriage, that there is a fruitfulness that can come out of that that is so much more dramatic and beautiful than dating alone. And the last thing is, man, there's so much greater capacity. So much greater capacity, because there's things in my life that are lacking without my wife. But with her in my life, committed to me, that covenant of marriage, that promise of marriage, man, those things that are lacking in my life, guess what? She's there to make up for. In areas that may be lacking in hers, guess what? I bring things to the table that she doesn't have. And so we, because of that complementariness, we have a greater capacity. There's fewer holes in our life and in our story because of our marriage. Marriage is infinitely greater. Infinitely greater than dating. And can I tell you that some people need to stop dating Jesus? And time to get married. Time to get married. Just like marriage is stepping across that threshold, going from one place in relationship to that much deeper, much more committed place of relationship. Just like marriage is between a husband and a wife, I'm telling you that I believe that God has given us baptism as a similar kind of a threshold to step across, to say, God, I take on greater responsibility. God, I know that this will even require me greater levels of sacrifice. And God, I know that you're going to put boundaries on my life, that I can't just go and do whatever I wanted to do before. There's boundaries that you place on our relationship. Why? Because of love. Not because he's trying to stifle something. You know what? I am not stifled by loving one woman. Because my love gets to go deeper. My intimacy begins to grow because it deepens rather than just getting spread out all over the place. You with me? We need to move to that level of commitment. And I believe that God has given us baptism as one of those things. And I believe it's that next yes that he's given us. Jesus is a great lover, but he also wants to be our Lord. Great lover. But he says, but can I be your Lord? And I believe baptism is a declaration that you're not only my lover, my Savior, the one who has washed me clean, but Jesus, I surrender all of my life to your Lordship. See, I believe that that is what those religious leaders in Luke 7 rejected. Jesus was a cool guy, great teacher, even did some amazing things. They knew he was amazing. They knew he was like super cool and like cooler than us, but you know what? What they refused to do is make him their Lord, because making him their Lord would have required for them to give up some of the things that they were already doing in their lives. They were more committed to their ways, to their customs, and even to their religion than they were to pursuing God with everything they had. Baptism is a symbol of our death. As Jesus died and was resurrected, baptism is a symbol that, like Jesus, I am buried to my old self. When I go under that water, it is a symbol of me dying in Christ, but then being raised to life, raised to new life in him. And guess what? But it's not just symbolic. It is crossing that threshold where I am proclaiming that I am dead to my old self, dead to my old ways, dead to my sin, and I am resurrected in new life in Christ. See, but those religious leaders, they loved their way of life and their religious practices, and they said, mm-mm, I ain't gonna go there. I'm not gonna say yes to this baptism. See, I think that they thought that baptism was another religious ritual. They had many already. I think they viewed baptism as another religious ritual, and they said, yeah, no, we're not gonna do that. But see, that's where they got it wrong. See, baptism is not a religious ritual. It is a relational covenant. It is a relational promise. That's why I believe it's like marriage. I believe it's saying yes to God in a whole new way. It's that coming before God saying, God, not only do have I put my trust in you and have you saved me, but God, I am saying yes to you with all of my life, with all of my story, with all of who I am. In some ways, it's like putting on a wedding ring. There is that commitment that I am now reminded of that threshold that I crossed going from dating to being married. That every time I look at this ring, I am reminded of that covenant that I have made with my wife and what goes along with it, including greater responsibility and sacrifice and boundaries. But that depth of intimacy that is represented in this ring as well. We began a practice a couple of years ago at Santa Maria Four Square Church that when people are baptized here, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but they have little bottles of water. That water that is in those little bottles is actually collected right from the water that they were baptized in. And what we do is we seal it up and we put a tag on there, and it is a reminder, just like a wedding ring for me is a reminder of that covenant relationship that I made with my wife. That little bottle represents that covenant relational decision that those people have made, saying, I am dead to my sin and my old self, and God, I have stepped into new life with you. It is that precious reminder of my old self dead in Christ and my new self alive with the power of God. Who is baptism for? I believe that baptism is at least for three different groups of people. Number one is for those who have said yes to Jesus. You've put your trust in him, but you've not yet been baptized. I believe that what we read through the New Testament is so clear. Repent and be baptized. Say yes to Jesus in your heart, yes to him as your Savior, and then saying, Jesus, now I cross this threshold publicly by going to the waters of baptism. It is the next yes for every follower of Jesus. That's who it's for. Number one, for those who have put their trust in Jesus, but if you had yet to say yes to the waters of baptism. Number two, those who have been baptized before, but you recognize that it was simply like a religious experience. It was something done kind of out of religious duty or obligation. There's many in our community that were actually baptized as infants, right? Because that was the religious custom and practice that take your baby, and that baby is dedicated through baptism, especially within the Catholic Church. It's a beautiful ceremony. It really is. It is that parent's heart that God, that this child would be yours forever. Yes. Amen? However, because it is kind of captured within that religious ceremony and moment and was not a decision of that individual, we believe that someone who has been baptized before, there was more of a religious experience, can now say, I want to be baptized as a declaration of my own yes to Jesus. That was my parents saying yes in a religious way. I want to say yes to Jesus personally in a relational way. I want to make this commitment and I want to say, Jesus, you're my Lord. That's the second group. And then there's a third group who I believe that baptism can be powerful for. It's those, whether they've ever been baptized before or not, they have realized that maybe they found themselves like those religious leaders from long ago who had rejected God's purposes for their life. They you know, as those religious leaders, they said no to baptism. And so what ended up happening is they said no to God's very purposes for them. And I believe that there are people who in their journey, their spiritual journey, recognize, man, when I look at my life and where I've been, I have been rejecting God's purposes for me. I have not been fulfilling the very purposes God has for me. I've been saying no to him. I've been on this pattern of saying, no, I'm going to do that. Mm-mm. No, I'm not going to do that. No. And I believe that baptism can be that radical yes that says, I don't want to keep saying no to God. I want to say yes to him. I am reestablishing something of his lordship in my life by going to the waters of baptism. Last week in our message, preached a message about how to get unstuck. And in that message, one of the ways that we saw this gentleman, Bartimaeus, get unstuck from that place of going from blindness and begging and just being stuck on the side of a road to being this guy who was free and healed and recommissioned by Jesus. And we saw in there that he literally jumped up. There's something about that immediacy of saying, I want to say yes to Jesus. Well, you know what? We see that again in another story, and it's where Philip in the book of Acts, God put him alongside someone, actually a ruler from the nation of Ethiopia. And there's this guy, this Ethiopian ruler who was going along in his chariot, kind of going back home from Jerusalem. And Philip is noticing that this Ethiopian is reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip just asks him, hey, do you understand what it is that you're reading? And he's like, no, I don't have anybody to explain this to me. And so he says, hey, hop on the chariot. And so this amazing thing happened where Philip begins to share with this Ethiopian ruler and leader just God's plan of salvation through Jesus. And the coolest thing happens because they're going down the road and Philip has been sharing about Jesus and has obviously explained to him about putting your trust in Jesus, saying yes to Jesus, and then saying yes to baptism. Because what we see is they come along the road and the Ethiopian says, hey, there's some water. Why am I not being baptized right now? And so they stop the chariot. They hop out and Philip baptizes that Ethiopian leader right then. Can I tell you that Ethiopian jumped up to get unstuck? He said, I don't want to be stuck where I'm at. I want to say yes to the Lord. And I want to proclaim that by taking this step of baptism. I don't want to live where I'm at. I want to get unstuck and I want to go for it with Jesus. And his life was transformed.